من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد Let's continue with the Book of Creed and Belief, Lughatul Ittiqad, the book compiled by the Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week, we covered the two attributes of Allah, the Most High of Al-Ajab, marveling, and al-Dahik, laughter, and some points with regard to acceptance of those hadith which are authentic in that regard. So who can remember with regard to the first narration that we had, يَعْجَبُ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الشَّابِ لَيْسَ لَهُ صَبْرًا. Your Lord marvels at a youth who does not incline towards desires. Who can remember what some of the verifiers, such as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar, As-Sakhawi, and lately Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahumullah, what the verifiers have said about this hadith? Your Lord marvels at the youth who does not incline towards desires. So the verifiers have mentioned this hadith is weak, da'if, with regard to its chain of narration. And who can remember the point of weakness in the chain of narration of this hadith? Who is the weak narrator in the chain of narration? So then the question remains that the Buddha started to answer before I stopped him, that how can we then affirm this attribute for Allah of Al-Ajab? How can we affirm this attribute of Al-Ajab, marveling for Allah, when the hadith is weak? How can this be the case? This is an attribute that's not only mentioned in this hadith, which contains weakness, but it's mentioned in authentic narrations, or it's mentioned in authentic texts, it's mentioned in one recitation of an ayah of the Qur'an, the ayah from Surah Al-Saffat, مَنْ عَجِبْتَ وَيَسْخَرُونَ. Rather you marvel and they mock. In one recitation, one correct recitation, it's recited by some of the reciters, مَنْ عَجِبْتُ وَيَسْخَرُونَ. Rather I marvel and they mock. And likewise, it's confirmed in the Sunnah in a hadith. Who can remember the hadith that confirms this attribute? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah marvels at a people who will enter paradise in chains. So again, affirming Al-Ajab, marveling for Allah the Most High. Shaykh Fawzan mentioned in his explanation the affair of the youth, and that his affair is indeed an affair for and a reason for wonder. Why is it, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, why is it a reason for wonder and surprise and marvel that a youth inclines towards worship? Why is it a matter of wonderment? Yeah. With the youth, then as Shaykh mentioned, with regard to youth, then is a person who is strong and has strong desires. And it's very often the case that they give in to their desires. And they don't put themselves upon worship. So therefore when one, there is a youth who does put himself upon worship and inclined away from desires, then this is indeed a matter for wonder and surprise. Who can remember the opposite case that Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned in his explanation? Opposite case is also a reason for wonder. The case opposite to the youth. The opposite case being the old man who commits zina, commits fornication. And this, he falls into his desires. And this is a matter of wonder, because at his elderly age, his desires should be a lot weaker, and it should be expected, and it's normal, that he'd be more turned towards worship. So when he turns away what's normal for him, and instead inclines towards desires, then this is also a matter for wonder and amazement. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned linguistically two meanings, or two ways in which the word wonder is used in the language, wonder or marvel. Which one can be applied with regard to, which one applies with regard to Allah the Most High, and which one does not? Who can remember this? Then the Shaykh mentioned, Shaykh Al-Thimeen, rahimahullah, mentioned that the first case where wonder arises is the wonder that occurs within the creation. That something happens and a person cannot see or understand why it is happening, so he's surprised. He's surprised it's happened, he didn't know it was going to happen, he's surprised at how it happened, so he feels surprised and wonder. And his lack of knowledge and awareness of how and why it happened. So this is not affirmed for Allah the Most High with this meaning. As for the second meaning, then it's when something happens out of the ordinary. You find, as the case here, a youth who is not like the rest of the youth. Then, the one who wonders knows fully about the affair. And this can be applied to Allah, this is what is applied to Allah. Allah knows fully well about the affair, but he wonders and Allah marvels at that which he marvels at. We also had the hadith, we had the attribute of Allah the Most High, al-dahik, laughter. And we have the narration that Allah laughs, the authentic narration, with Imam Bukhari, a Muslim, that Allah laughs at two men. Who can remember these two men? One man who killed the other man. Allah laughs at them both. And they both enter paradise. But who can remember the details? Who is this man who killed the other man? How is it that a man killed another man and both enter into paradise? In the longer narration, it mentions the actual reason. What could remember the reason? What these two men? One kills the other, they both enter paradise. Even the one who killed, he enters paradise. So what is love? Three, four brothers have asked all the questions. This is a man who is an unbeliever. He fights against the Muslims and he kills the Muslims. So the Muslim is martyred in Allah's cause. And he dies in his paradise. And then Allah grants the unbeliever repentance. he repents and accepts Islam, and then he fights Allah's cause and dies, and he enters paradise also, and they meet in paradise. The Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi mentioned that whatever is authentic from the narrations with regard to Allah's attributes, we accept it, as long as it is authentic, sahih. Who can remember how many conditions there are for a hadith to be sahih, to be authentic? How many conditions? Five conditions. And the next question, who can remember the five conditions? Or maybe some of them. Or at least the first one. Who's the first one? You know, the narrators, the first condition is al-adala, that the narrators have adala, trustworthiness. The narrators are all trustworthy. Second one? The narrators are terrible, blunt, and complete precision. The third one, it is al-sanad, that the chain of narration is fully connected, and that this is found in every chain, every level of the chain, and the chain is fully connected all the way through. The fourth condition, there's no shuruth in it, hadith not shadh, which means it does not contradict that which is better established. It doesn't contradict another narration which is more authentic. And the last condition, Adul illah. It has no illah, it has no hidden defect. There's nothing, when the scholars of hadith examine the hadith with its chain of narration, they don't find any defect that's not immediately apparent, but when they look closely at it and they compare it with what they know, they find that there is a defect in it. No, it must be free of that. There must be no hidden defect with it. Who can remember, because he mentioned the hadith which is mutawatir and the hadith which is ahad. Who can give a rough definition of the hadith which is mutawatir? Roughly what is it, or just roughly what is the hadith which is mutawatir? It's a narration narrated by a huge number of people at each level of transmission. Such a large number of people that it would be impossible normally for them to come together and invent a lie. And who can remember the definition of ahad, a narration which is ahad? And we define that as being ahad, as being that which does not fulfill the condition for being mutawatir. Meaning that one or more level, it doesn't comply with being mutawatir. It's not reported by a huge number of people at one or more level. Who can remember which of these two kinds of narration do we accept in matters of aqidah? Which of these two do we accept in matters of aqidah? The mutawatir or the ahad? Which one? Both with the condition that it is ahad, that it is authentic sahih. We accept both in matters of aqidah as long as they're authentic. As long as they fulfill the conditions of being sahih and authentic. We had a point with regard to the earlier scholars. How did they classify a hadith which is hasan? Did they categorize it under that which is authentic or under that which is weak and not authentic? They categorized it along with the authentic with sahih. Shaykh al-Fawzan made an excuse for the Imam here, Imam Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, for bringing some narrations in his book which are not authentic, even though it's in matters of aqidah, bringing some narrations which are not fully authentic. What excuse did Sheikh al-Fawzan bring for that? Because it may be the case that somebody comes and says, well, you people, you said this hadith here is weak, and yet you're studying the book of this Imam here, and he's brought the hadith in his book. So what do you say about the Imam quoting weak hadith in his book? So what excuse did Sheikh al-Fawzan mention in that regard? That he will quote a narration which may have some weakness in his chain of narration when there are other authentic proofs to back it up, to back that narration up. As in the hadith affirming Allah's marvel of Ajr. As we know, there is an ayah of the Quran with one recitation, there is a hadith in Bukhari, there are other narrations to back the meaning of with regards to Ajr. And with regards to continuation, then we reached a point. Having said, فَهَذَا وَمَا أَشْبَهَهُ مِمَّا صَحَّ سَلَهُهُ. So this and its like, from that whose chain of narration is authentic, وَعُدِّلَتْ رُوَاتُهُ. And its narrators are declared trustworthy. This has been on the page 87 of the Egyptian print, along with all the printing errors in, that most of us got hold of. وَعُدِّلَتْ رُوَاتُهُ. And its narrators are declared trustworthy. Sheikh Fawzan says with regard to this point, Uddirat Ruwatuhu, and its narrators are declared trustworthy, he said, this enters within that whose chain of narration is authentic. Since it cannot be authentic, sahih, unless its narrators are declared trustworthy. So this is a case of emphasis and linking connected matters. In other words, this is just a point emphasizing what just preceded. This chain of narration needs to be sahih, needs to be authentic. And of course, as Sheikh Fawzan made clear, to fulfill that, these narrators have to be those who declare trustworthy. Then he continues, the Imam Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, he continues, نُقْبِلُ بِهِ وَلَا نَرُدُّهُ وَلَا نَجْحَدُهُ. We have Iman in it, and we do not reject it, and we do not deny it. Sheikh Fawzan said in explanation of this point that we have Iman in it, we have true faith in it, and we do not reject it, and we do not deny it, he said. We have Iman in it, and we hold it as creed and belief, and we do not reject it. Contrary to the people of misguidance, those who reject what is authentic from the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who say it does not amount to knowledge, does not amount to ilm, based upon their principles of logic and theological rhetoric, which they have invented. Why do they say that? Why do they say narrations which are authentic from Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't amount to ilm, don't amount to knowledge, built upon principles which they have invented? Principles of al-mantaqiyyah, logic, al-kalamiyyah, principles of theological rhetoric. He said, so we, as for us, then we do not act as they act. Rather, we free ourselves from them and from their actions. فَنَبْرَأُ مِنْهُمْ وَمِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ. There should be a full stop there. That وَمِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ is a continuation of the sentence. This version sort of gone wrong here. Then he said, so we free ourselves from them and from their actions. Then he begins a new paragraph here and says, we have Iman in it, and we hold as creed and belief that which is indicated by it. And we do not reject it, as it is rejected by those people. وَلَا نَجْحَدُهُ And we do not deny it. نَجْحَلُهُ And there's a meme crept in here, it's a printing error, eh? نَجْحَلُهُ Denying it, we don't do this. Deny it by denying what it indicates from names and attributes. We do not deny this. Rather, we affirm whatever it indicates, just as Allah affirmed it and His Messenger. This is what is obligatory upon the Muslim. الإيمان والتسليم والانقياد لما صح عن الله ورسوله. This is what is obligatory for a Muslim, to have iman, true faith, and tasleem and submission, and of inqiyad, compliance, to that which is authentic from Allah and His Messenger. And that He does not interfere with it, with His intellect and His thinking, and by raising points of objection and raising doubts, or by accepting the speech of those who lead astray, and the doubts of those who declare resemblance. He does not turn attention to these affairs. The Shaykh mentioned a list of things here, which is a Muslim does with regard to these texts, whatever is authentic from Allah, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it's upon him, as he said, to have iman, to have submission, to have compliance to that. And then he gives a list of things that the Muslim does not do, that he doesn't interfere with it, with his intellect, his aql, with his thinking, raising points of objection, and raising doubts, and that he does not accept the speech of those who lead astray. And he does not accept the doubts of those who declare tashbih, resemblance with the creation, between creator and creation. And that he does not turn attention to these affairs. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd Surah, Ayah 36, with the explanation, and it is not right for a believing man, nor for a believing woman, that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any other choice in their affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has strayed with a clear strain. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the affair depends upon al-thubut wa al-sihha. So the affair depends upon establishment and authenticity. So whatever is established, then it becomes obligatory to have iman in it, and to accept it, and to affirm it, and to act upon it, without any hesitation, withholding, or turning to that which the people of misguidance say. As long as that's fulfilled, it's established, authentic, and it's authentic, then it's obligatory to have iman, and so on. And if we go to the next point, then the Imam al-Qudama said, وَلَا نَتَأَوَّلُهُ بِتَأْوِيلٍ يُخَالِفُ ظَاهِرَهُ. And we do not interpret it away with an interpretation contrary to what is apparent from it. And we do not do ta'wil of it. We do not interpret it away with an interpretation contrary to its zahir, contrary to what's apparent from it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because the actions of those who oppose are, and he gives the different ways in which the opponents of the Sunnah they deal with texts or the attributes. He said, because the actions of those who oppose are to either reject and not accept, or otherwise to affirm along with ta'wil, along with explaining the meaning away, when they are unable to reject the texts. For then they fall back upon ta'wil, interpretation, misinterpretation. So that's the way that people misguide us with regard to the texts and the attributes. If they're able to reject the text, they're rejected. If they can't directly reject it, then they fall back upon ta'wil, explaining its meaning away to mean something else, misinterpreting it. And then he explains what ta'wil, misinterpretation, is. He gives a definition. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, وَالْتَعْوِيلُ هُوَ صَرْفُ اللَّفْظِ عَنْ مَعْنَاهُ الصَّحِيحِ إِلَى مَعْنَى آخَرٍ غَيْرَ صَحِيحٍ. He said, ta'wil, misinterpretation, is to divert the wording away from its correct meaning to another meaning which is not correct. That is ta'wil. To divert a wording away from its correct meaning to another meaning which is not correct. He said, so they divert the texts away from what's apparent from them to other meanings. For example, they said, Al-Yad ma'nahu qudra. They said, the hand, obviously referring to the attributes of Allah the Most High. But they said in the Sharia, the hand means ability. And al-wajh, the face, means al-dhat, means the self. And al-istiwa, ascending, means al-istiwa, conquering the throne. Give some examples of the ta'wil of the people misguiding us, how they misinterpret attributes. Then he said, because they are not able to reject these texts, because they are confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. So therefore they resort to ta'wil, to misinterpretation. And they can't come and say these texts are not authentic, we reject. They can't say that. So they take a second course. They say we interpret the way to mean something else. We interpret, they say, the hand to mean power, Allah's face to mean his self, and his ascending to mean his conquering. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues, وَلَا نُشَبِّهُهُ بِصِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُقِينَ. And we do not declare it to resemble the attribute of the created beings. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, we do not reject it, because all this referring to that which is authentic. That which is authentic, any text authentic about those attributes. Then, we do not reject it, and we do not do ta'wil of it, we do not interpret it away, and we do not declare resemblance, tashbih, with the creation. Shaykh says, so we do not reject it, we do not interpret it away, and we do not declare resemblance, as is done by the second group from the people of misguidance. Allahumma sallam. This is an announcement here that's been put into the Dajj here. I'll do it as a one-off, inshallah. I'll make a regular backslap, inshallah. There's a car here, a Renault, registration number BP06. WYO, whoever's the owner of this car, will have this on, tape. I'll be well known as being the owner of a car who's blocking somewhere out of it. So can you please move that car? I won't repeat it, it would increase the embarrassment. Anyway, back to the point. that Sheikh Fawzan said, we do not reject it, we do not interpret it away, and we do not declare resemblance, as is done by the second group from the people of misguidance. And here the second group, the first group is already mentioned, those who deny the attribute, or who explain it away. Now it comes to another group of misguidance, the opposite extreme, those who declare resemblance with the creation. He said, as is done by the second group from the people of misguidance, those who affirm these proofs and do not speak concerning their establishment, and they do not speak also about their meaning. However, they declare tashbih, they declare resemblance also to the attributes of the created beings. These people are called al-mushabbiha and al-mubathila, those who declare resemblance between the creator and the creation, or those who declare likeness between the creator and the creation. And this is a position which is batil, false and futile, just like at-ta'til, just like negation of the attributes. And just as that first position that was discussed, denying the attributes is false, then likewise this is false, declaring false attributes to be likeness of creation, affirming them and then saying that they're like the attributes of creation. This is also false and futile. And the true position is to affirm them with their wording and their meaning without ta'wil, without interpreting them away, and without tashbih, and without declaring resemblance with the creation. This is the position of the people of truth. Because of his saying, be the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Surah Ash-Shurah, the 42nd Surah, Ayah 11. With the explanation, there is nothing like him. There's nothing like Allah. And he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he negated from himself any likeness and stated that there is nothing which resembles him from his creation. And he affirmed for himself hearing and seeing. And then he gives another number of ayahs, a further four ayahs, again all of them denying and negating from Allah any likeness. So he said, and there occurs in the other ayah, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ, Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 74, with the explanation, do not declare things to be like Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning things which are alike and equals. And in another ayah, وَلَمْ يَكُرْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah, Ayah 5, Ayah 4 should be closed. Meaning, and he does not have any one who is equal to him. He does not have any equal. The Shaykh said, meaning any equivalent or equal. And there occurs in another ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا, Surah Maryam, the 19th Surah, Ayah 65. With the explanation, do you know any namesake for him? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning you do not know anyone who deserves his name in reality and who is like him. And he quotes the fourth and last ayah in this regard, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادَ, Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, Ayah 32. With the explanation, so do not set up rivals for Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, this word andad means others who are similar and others who are alike. Do not do that. Don't set these up for Allah. He said, neither in his worship, nor with regard to his names and attributes, nor with regard to his actions, he the Perfect and Most High. He has no one who resembles him in any sense at all. So the mushabbiha, those who declare resemblance between Allah and His creation, they affirm the proofs and they do not interpret them away. However, they increase upon affirmation to the extent that they declare that Allah the Majestic and Most High resembles His creation. So this is a false and futile position, and it is the opposite extreme to the position of the Mu'attila, those who deny the attributes. And it is the same about Allah without knowledge. And the same of each of these two groups is batil, false and futile. And those who deny the attributes of Allah, those who negate His attributes, they say it's false and futile. Those who take the opposite extreme, they affirm the attributes, they don't explain more way, they affirm, but they say they like the attributes of the creation. That is false and futile. Then the Shaykh said, and reputation upon the mushabbiha, those who say that the creator resembles the creation, reputation of them is made with his saying, He the Most High, laysaka mithlihi shay. There is nothing, with the meaning, there is nothing like him. And the mu'attila, those who deny the attributes, are refuted by his saying, He the Most High, wa huwa as-sami'ul basir. And with the meaning, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Two parts of the ayah from Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, ayah 11. And the first part of the ayah refutes those who deny the attributes, the last part refutes. The first part of the ayah refutes those who deny it, who say there is resemblance to the creation. The second part refutes those who deny the attributes. Then the Imam continues, وَلَا بِسِمَاتِ الْمُحْدَثِينَ, nor the characteristics of the beings who newly came into existence. Of course, this follows up on the previous point, and we do not declare it to resemble the attributes of the created beings, nor the characteristics of the beings who newly came into existence. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the word as-simat means characteristics and particular qualities, and the word al-muhdathun, the new beings, they are the created beings, since every created thing is something which has newly come about after not previously existing. So we do not declare the attributes of Allah to resemble the attributes of the created beings, nor the characteristics of the new beings. And the meaning is one. However, this is a case of emphasis. In this phrase means the same as the previous phrase, just for emphasis. And the Imam continued, وَنَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا شَرِيهَ لَهُ وَلَا نَظِيرَ. And we know that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has no one who resembles Him and no equal. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is the creed and belief of the people of the truth, that Allah the Majestic and Most High has no one who resembles Him and no equal, meaning there is no one who resembles Him, He the Perfect and Most High. And the word an-nadhir, the equal, is someone who equals something. So there is no one who equals Allah the Majestic and Most High. You say, it means in the language how you use this term, nadhir, he said, you say, this thing is the nadir of this. This thing is like this thing. Meaning, it equates to this thing and is the same as it. But Allah, the Majestic and Most High, has nothing which resembles Him in His self, nor in His names and His attributes. And He has no equal in that. And there is no one who shares with Him, He the Perfect, in that which He deserves from worship and from perfect attributes and characteristics of splendor and majesty. So this contains a reputation of the Mushabbiha, contains a reputation of those who declare that the Creator resembles the creation, those who go beyond the limits in affirming the name the names, al-asma, as it should be, again, a printing error, yet to look at again, al-asma, al-sifat, those who go beyond the limits in affirming the names and attributes to their extent, that they declare them to resemble the attributes of the created beings. Whereas the first people, those ones who were first refuted here, from the Mu'attila, from those who deny the attributes, they went beyond the limits in declaring Allah free to such an extent that they declared Allah the Majestic and Most High to be free from His own names and attributes. So one group went beyond the bounds in declaring Him free, and they are the Mu'attila, they deny the attributes. And one group went beyond bounds in affirming, and they are the Mushafi'ah, those who claim to resemble the creation. As for the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, then they are in the middle and best way. They do not negate the names of Allah, and yet they declare Allah the Majestic and Most High to be free from all deficiencies, with a declaration free of any negation of His attributes. And they affirm for Him the names and attributes with affirmation containing no tashbih, no resemblance of His attributes to the creation, and no likeness. So they avoid the extremism of the two groups, the extremism of those who declare Allah free, and the extremism of those who declare Allah to be like or similar to the creation. And each of the two groups is extreme in its position. As for the people of the Sunnah and all praises for Allah, then they are the ones who are moderate and justly balanced, and are upon what is necessitated by the Book and the Sunnah. And the truth is always like this. It is the middle way between the two extremes of misguidance. And then the Imam continued, quoting the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, ayah 11. With the meaning, there is nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this ayah is the measure and criterion for the people of the truth, which refutes the Mu'attila, those who deny the attributes, and it refutes the Mushabbiha, those who declare the Creator to be like the creation. And it affirms for Allah the names and attributes without ta'til, without denying the attribute, and without tashbih, without declared resemblance. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, with the meaning there is nothing like Him, this is a reputation of those who declare resemblance with the creation, those who go beyond limits in affirming. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and with the meaning that He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, this is a reputation of the deniers of the attributes, those who go beyond limits in declaring Him free, to such an extent that they deny the names of Allah and His attributes, fleeing away from any resemblance in their view. So they fell into resemblance. They fled away from resemblance, and they fell into resemblance, which is even worse than what they fled away from. So that's a very important point here that people don't usually notice. That those who deny Mu'attila, those who deny those attributes, they do it because they say we don't want to make Allah like His creation by affirming His attributes. So they run away from resemblance and they fall into resemblance. What they fall into, what they run away from. But an even worse resemblance, the Sheikh said, which is that they make Allah to resemble non-existent things and impossible things. And those who say Allah does not have this attribute, He doesn't have that attribute, He doesn't have this attribute, we deny this attribute, we deny that, until they deny all or most of His attributes. So therefore they've made Him resemble that which doesn't exist, or that which is impossible. So they run from resemblance and they fall into resemblance, but even worse resemblance. They're afraid of causing Allah to resemble the creation, and instead they cause to resemble that which does not exist whatsoever, and that which is impossible. Then the Imam continued, and then we reached the end of this, what we're going to do today, inshaAllah. And he continued, وَكُلُّ مَا تَخَيَّلَ فِي الذَّهْرِ. Again, a printing error, not in ذَهْرِ here, but ذَا should be a dude. وَكُلُّ مَا تَخَيَّلَ فِي الذَّهْرِ أَوْ خَطَرَ بِالْبَالِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِخِلَافِهِ. And everything which is conceived in the mind or imagined in the imagination, then Allah the Most High is contrary to it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Allah the Majestic and Most High cannot be imagined in the mind, nor in one's thinking, because He is greater than everything. So it is not permissible for anyone to imagine His Self, either perfect, or His attributes. He the Most High said, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلَا خَلْقَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 110. With the explanation, He knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass Him with knowledge. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they cannot encompass Allah the Majestic and Most High with knowledge. So no one knows His Self, His Dhat, He the Perfect and Most High, and His names and His attributes except for Him, He the Perfect. So He encompasses the created beings, and the created beings do not encompass Him. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. The same ayah 110 from Surah Taha, the explanation, He knows whatever is in front of them and whatever is behind them, and they do not encompass Him with knowledge. And Shaykh al-Fawzan finished by saying, Allah cannot be encompassed, nor can He be conceived, nor can He be imagined, He the Perfect and Most High, because He is greater than everything. So everything which occurs to your mind or revolves in your imagination with regard to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, and with regard to His Self, then Allah is contrary to that. You cannot encompass Him, or rather, well, He cannot be encompassed by thoughts and imagination. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد. Three points of clarification. He has told us about Himself, told us about His attributes, and told us about His actions, then we can know that. As far as reaching Allah and encompassing Him with our knowledge or with our thinking and our thought, then no, that's not possible. We only know about Allah that which He sent His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us about. That's what we know about Allah, what Himself has told us about Himself. As far as reaching Him with our knowledge and encompassing Him with our knowledge, then no.
The verse of the Quran that orders us to obey Allah and the Messenger, the one that we were
familiar with. The first ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab, third verse of it. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, Ayah 36, the explanation. And it is not correct for any believing man, nor believing woman, that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, that they should have any khiyara, any other choice with regard to their affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he has strayed with a clear straying. With regard to tashbih and tamthil, and sometimes they used to be the same thing, and sometimes, well, there is a difference, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mentioned. As for tamthil, to declare something, to be like something, then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen made a distinction and said, as for tamthil, declaring something to be like something, then it means you're declaring something to be exactly the same as the other thing, from every angle, every aspect. And that is tamthil. You say, this thing is like that thing. It's the same. As for tashbih, that is to say that it's like the other thing in some aspects only. That this thing resembles that thing. It's not the same. And that is tashbih. So tashbih, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned, tamthil means something being like something in every aspect, whereas tashbih means resembling it in some aspects. Being like it, in other words, being like it in some aspects. Example, he said that the person is saying, yeah, tell me the whole question. Or he asked me, okay, you know, that's what he asked me. If the person had, you know, if you had the same pen, just so we understand, yeah, he said, this pen, if I read that bit at the end, this pen is a little harder, this pen is like that pen. They're both the same. Yeah, same make, same type, same colour, same make. You can't see the difference between the two, as far as you can see. They're exactly the same. Same thing, they're there before heaven. This is like that. That's tamthil. Whereas tashbih is to say, he said, my son is like your son. Obviously, he looks different. His hair is a bit different. His hair is, you know, his hair is a bit wavy and his hair is a bit straight. His eyes are one colour. Whatever. Yeah. But there's tashbih. There's some resemblance between them, in a similar height, similar sort of build, whatever. So there's some resemblance between them, and that is tashbih, resemblance. With regard to us, then as the Shaykh said, whatever we imagine about Allah, then Allah will become true to that. So if Shaytan puts any idea into your mind that Allah is like such and such in his self or his attributes, then that is from Shaytan, Allah is contrary to that. But as for As-Sawra, then we affirm that Allah and Ya Rasulullah mentioned in the Hadith of Al-Bukhari, that Allah and Ya Qiyamah will come in a form. As we heard in the Khutbah as well as last week or week before, in the Hadith authentically reported by Bukhari, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah will come in a form that the believers will, when those who worship other things besides Allah follow that which they used to worship and enter the fire, then only the believers remain, and along with them the hypocrites who are with them in the dunya, outwardly, then Allah will come to them in a form that they do not recognize. And they will be asked, who are you waiting for? So they will say, we are waiting for our Lord. And the hadith is part of a long hadith. So from that hadith, from Allah, the narration, we found Allah a surah, a form. Not like the creation. Not like the creation. And then Allah will come to them in a form that they do recognize. We will be asked first, do you have a sign? Do you have a sign by which you will recognize your Lord? So they will say, yes, as-saq, the shin. So So Allah the Most High will reveal His shirk, and the believers will recognize it and fall down in prostration. And the hypocrites will try to prostrate, but their backbone will remain at one single bone, they will be unable to prostrate. And then they'll be sent into the fire. So we affirm that Allah has sought a form, not like the form of creation. And when Allah appears in His form on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, then that will be recognized by the believers. It doesn't mean, it doesn't necessitate, in case of anyone misunderstand, that in this world that people start imagining things about Allah. No, as the Ibn Qudamah mentioned, whatever you imagine in your mind, if Shaitan tries to whisper into your mind, or you hear some of the characters here, as they do in schools, and try to get you to imagine your Lord, then this Allah is contrary to that, which falls into imagination. With regard to His self, or with regard to His attributes. Point, bringing something on the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, that he makes a point with regard to Allah the Most High. The point is that hadith, that prophetic hadith, the paradise contains that which no eye has ever seen, and no ear has ever heard, and has never crossed the mind, the human mind, never been imagined in the human mind. And this is with regard to created things. That in paradise there will be created things. And in this world there are created things. And yet, the things in paradise will be such that no mind has imagined them, no eye has seen the like of them, and no heart, no ear has heard of the like of them. And this is with regard to created things. Then how about the Creator? How about the difference between the Creator, He the Perfect and Most High, and between that which creation imagined about Him? How great will that difference be? The difference between the created things of paradise and the difference between the created things of this world, and how about the Creator Himself? SubhanAllah.